We endeavor into the will of God to see what God has for you and me with respect to proportionate giving. We understand thus far, and as I look into the audience, we have been here, we have listened and considered concerning what the will of God says on the subject of wealth and finances. Now we are discussing on the subject of giving. Giving is an important aspect to the will of God. But there is one aspect that I want us to be considerate of, and it is one that's very important, and it's one that we first must define before we proceed further in our thought process. What does it mean when we say proportionate? As we have here in our definitions, proportionate simply means agreeing in amount, magnitude, or degree. It also is defined as exhibiting equivalence or correspondence among constituents of an entity or between different entities. So as we further our thought process on this important subject of proportionate giving, I want us to have in mind these particular definitions. And I want us to think about the first one that we have here, agreeing in amount, magnitude, or degree. But let's talk about some first things that will help us understand why proportionate giving is important. We first must consider what we possess in this life. And I want us to think about items that are beyond our capacity. In other words, items that you were not responsible for. We have heard it throughout this lectureship, but once again, by way of reminder, we understand that we were not responsible for matter, as Israel pointed out this morning. The atoms, the molecules, the elements. This is something that we as humanity, as a creation, were not responsible for. I did not speak into existence matter. Second, life and energy is a second thing that we were not responsible. Items beyond our capacity. We are life. We have energy. But I did not create myself. I received that life from my parents. And my parents, their parents, and so forth, until we go back to Genesis chapter 1, in which the Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created all things. And He created man in His image. Life began from life. Third, nature. The oxygen that we breathe, the water that we drink, the food that we eat from plants and animals, and the shelter that we have is another item that is beyond our capacity. These are things that we possess. But there is something else that we possess that is beyond our capacity, and it is our existence. As I stated, none of us created ourselves. And therefore, when we think about all of this, we must ask the questions: who, what, where, when, why, and how did all these things come to be? You see, as humanity, we are inquisitive by nature. We think about the things that we possess. We think about our very existence, and automatically, as human beings, we make that inquiry: who made us? Who is responsible for what we possess here upon this earth. And so we logically and reasonably identify that someone greater than myself was responsible for me and all that I possess. That, my friends, is something that I would hope those in the world would understand. That they would comprehend with great common sense that I did not make these things. And so we can voice with the psalmist who said on that occasion, Psalm 104, verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. He concluded logically and reasonably that God had made all of these things. Second, he concluded logically that someone greater than himself fashioned him. Psalm 119:73, thy hands have made me and have fashioned me. I am who I am because of the great God who governs all things. But what is it that God is trying to show us in all of these possessions that we have? He is trying to show us, as we have mentioned thus far, that God is generous with his blessings. The psalmist said in Psalm 68, verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. So as we went out this afternoon and as we had our lunch, did we thank God for those benefits? Something that you were not responsible for. And so in essence, what God is trying to show us is that he is generous, that he cares for his creation, and that he is willing to share. He is not stingy. He does not hoard. He is not filled with avarice, but he is trying to show you that I give you all things to enjoy. Let's define what sharing is more specifically. Sharing, number one, means using or enjoying something jointly with others. God created all that we have, and he wanted to share jointly the things that he made with us. Second, it means unselfishly willing to share with others. And I want you to highlight that word, unselfishly. As we have studied many times before concerning the things of God, we understand, and this comes from an aspect of the Godhead, and our members know this because we have studied this before, that the reason why unity and sharing is innate is because it demonstrates the work and the unity even of the Godhead. Three being one. And it is interesting that in their unity, this indeed is a paradigm for us as the church, that if three can work together and be unified in all things, certainly we can as well. Both from a church perspective and also from the world. Are we not human beings? We have heard the passage in Galatians 6 and verse 10. And I think we need to highlight more concerning the aspect that if I am a human being, I am responsible for other human beings. Yes, I'm responsible for my brethren, but I'm responsible for everyone because everyone is made in the image of God. And that is what James says in James chapter 3. How can you curse those in the world when they too have been made in the image of God? They bleed red just as you bleed red. They have breath just as you have breath, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their culture, regardless of their ethnicity. They are human beings. And so God, the Godhead, teaches us that we need to give and share and be united. Acts 20 and verse 35, as we read this morning, Jesus would say, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is saddening that within the church of our Lord, Brother Bobby, we have a lot of takers. A lot of takers, right? But what's in the minority are the givers. And yet we read here that the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, gave us a message that Jesus Christ voiced it with great passion. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Why not have the mentality that I'm going to give rather than take? If we had that mentality, then the church could do great things for the Lord. Amen. But let's talk about why the act of giving is important. The act of giving teaches us to share, just as God has taught us that He shares His blessings. The act of giving teaches us to share our belongings. If we would have the concept of sharing within our minds, then as the collection plate passed by, there would be no problems with us as we looked at this morning, loosening the grip of our money. Number two, we give to show, and here it is, our appreciation to God for all He has done for us. We're thankful unto God for our jobs. We're thankful to God for our homes. We're thankful to God for our vehicles and our food and our clothing, right? It really shows how much I appreciate my Father in heaven. But why do we share? Why is it that we are giving to the Lord? As I stated this morning in my introduction to the lectureship, I made the poignant point that many non-believers chide the religion world because they say that religion is all about giving and wealth. And certainly there are some merits to those claims. And what has made it difficult for us who are practicing New Testament Christianity, it does hinder us in some ways. When you have those religions that, yes, are all about the money, that their mindset is not on spiritual things, but on physical things. And yes, it makes it difficult for us to understand this concept, or when we get visitors that visit New Testament Christianity and they have questions with regard to, well, the church is all about giving. All they want is money. Money, 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 money. But what they fail to understand, and what those in the denominational world have hindered us, is people do not understand why God has commanded us to give. Why do we share? It is simply for the work of God. The work of God. We are reminded in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 1, Paul told there, Titus, be ready to every good work. He would further say in Titus 3 and verse 14, maintain good works for necessary uses. So we understand the concept of why we are giving. Because God has called us to work. And yes, in order for the work of God to be accomplished, there has to be wealth, money. But it's how we use that money, as we learned in just our past hour, how we use that money that we should be mindful of. The work of God consists, as already mentioned, three ways: evangelism. God has proclaimed unto his people to preach the gospel. And in order to spread the gospel, wealth must be accrued. Second, benevolence, as we have already discussed, Acts 2, 43 through 45, Galatians 6, 10. Edification or worship is also needed. When God commanded us to meet together on the first day of the week, it was expedient for us to secure some land, to build a building so that we together, as a body of Christ, could meet in a central location. Yes, we understand that members in the first century met at people's homes, but as life progressed and as Christians became more prosperous, then certainly it was more expedient to build a building to secure it so that its members could worship. What's it going to take for all this to happen? Resources. And think about this logically. Who has the resources? People possess resources. And those resources are then turned into wealth. This is exactly what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. So this is where I come into the picture. This is why God has commanded us to give on the first day of the week, because God has works to do. You see, God works through us. He has given you a command, and you have to fulfill that command. And this is why we are important in the scope of things. In evangelism, in benevolence, and even in worship, we are obligated to fulfill God's command. So are we going to give? Are we going to, as the Old Testament, by its example stated in Deuteronomy 16, verse 10, are we going to give a free will offering, as Brother Bobby pointed out? Here Moses says, a tribute of a freewill offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord according as the Lord hath blessed thee. It's a freewill offering. God doesn't force you to give. But if you are spiritually minded and you know that God indeed has a great work for me to do, then there is going to be no problem for me to give, as the text says, according as the Lord hath blessed me. Isn't that right? You're going to want to give. With that mindset that God has shared with his blessings unto you, I'm going to want to give. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to smile when I drop my check or when I drop the Benjamins in the plate. I'm not going to frown. But what ultimately happens is that people hold back. And the reason why they hold back is because of what Deuteronomy 8:17 says. People in their mind says this: my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. It's mine! And I don't want to let it go. You're not going to tell me to let it go. I know what you're going to use that money. You're just going to use it for yourselves. Which is the one that we see often in the congregations? Is it those that freely give abundantly? Or is it the ones that hold back? I want you to investigate this. I want you to go to many congregations, and I want you to look at the budgets that they have and then the offering that they receive. More likely than not, congregations don't meet the budgets that the elders have set. Yet, they don't miss a beat in their homes, right? They make sure their budgets are taken care of. But when it comes to the budget of the Lord, when it comes to its work, we don't pull our resources together like we should. And this is why the work of God is not done. Deuteronomy 16:17 says this. And you have to look and you have to consider the context in which Deuteronomy 16 is written in. And it basically begins with even the first chapter. As Moses is instructing this new generation that are about to inhabit the land of Canaan, he tells them certain things that they have to be aware of. And one of these things that God understood that his people were responsible for was, my work still needs to be continued when I give you a land flowing with milk and honey. When I bless you with a land that is plenteous, that is everything that you desire, you are not to forget about me. Don't forget about me. And so God gave the command to the nation of Israel, every man shall give as he is able. Now, God understood that there were some that could give and some possibly that could not give. There were those that were rich and those that were poor within the nation of Israel. And so he made and gave the stipulation, every man shall give what? As he is able. And it is familiar sounding as 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. But what I've highlighted here is what we need to consider according to the blessing of the Lord. I want you to consider that because now we get down to the nitty-gritty in talking about proportionate. Is our giving in agreement in amount? Remember the definition I gave of proportionate? And so the question before us, brethren and friends, is our giving in agreement in amount? Now to help us put this in perspective, I've given here some comparisons. What do you give when it comes to entertainment? Think about that in your mind. How much would you spend in your entertainment? How much did you spend as you went out to lunch this afternoon? How much do we spend when we go to the movies? How much do we spend when we go to the mall? How much do we spend when we go to sporting events? How much do we spend when right now the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo, how much do we spend there? And it's interesting that our mindset in these places is much different when we come to church. Out there, we're willing to open up that pocketbook and we're willing to spend $50, $100, $150 like that. But when that offering plate comes by, we start taking out the ones. And we take out five ones so we can show, and we fold it in and so it can look thick. And we drop it in the plate. Made me feel good. Your $5 versus your $150 that you spend on your entertainment. Is that proportionate? Your possessions that you have, the clothing, the cars, the houses. When we think about what we spend there versus what we give, is it proportionate? Now, once again, don't get me wrong, especially with regard to possessions. We understand that when we look at these items and we compare these items, yes, I may have a house payment that be more than what I can give, but what I'm saying is this. When you look at these two aspects, when you take a look at it, what is the mindset? What is it that I'm willing to give here and I'm not willing to give there? And it comes back to what we learned on Saturday concerning finances, right? That the more that we are in debt, the less we are prone to give unto God. What about your education? How much money do we spend on education? We'll spend $100,000, $200,000 to get my master's and even PhD level degree. And with those degrees, I can get a wonderful and good paying job. But I'm there writing a $5 check to the Lord. And what's sad is when that $5 check bounces. Isn't that sad? I've heard of that before. What about your hobbies? Men and women, you have hobbies, right? Once again, how much we spend on those hobbies in comparison to how much we give to the Lord. These things have to be taken into consideration, brethren. So the question is our giving in agreement in amount? And so when you make the comparisons, you have to understand, okay, am I giving my all? Can I give my all? Can I set aside, and as we talked about thus far, in our budgets that we are to be having or that we need to make in our homes, do we set aside first God's portion? As preachers have stated already, what we do is we'll spend with regard to entertainment, our possessions, education, hobbies, and then we'll give the Lord the leftovers, the scraps, as they say, stated already. Something to think about, right? The things of God, do they look like this? Broken down shack? But consider our houses. In Haggai 1 and verse 4, Haggai the prophet would encourage the people of Israel. And if you recall, in that setting, the temple of the Lord had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And the Babylonians had plundered the things of God. They had left the things of God in shambles. And the temple of the Lord was left in disarray. And so as Ezra and Nehemiah encouraged those in the Persian authority, as they go back and as they fix the house of the Lord, we understand that enemies began to hinder their work. And so it discouraged the nation of Israel to rebuild the temple of the Lord that was left in shambles. And Haggai was sent to these people to encourage them, to galvanize them, to say, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? I want you to think about this. I want this to be your mentality when you give unto the Lord. Do you want great things to happen in the work of God? Do you want the work of God to succeed in posterity? Do you want the work of God to be championed above all other works that are out there? If we are the church of Christ, if we are the one body that is authorized by Christ, why are we not doing more? Why? We should be at the forefront. We are the vanguard of all religions. But the reason why we can't is because the people don't give of the resources. The things of God are decaying because we are allowing it to decay. The world needs us. It needs us desperately. We have been called to give them the will of God. But everything that God has required requires resources. It requires resources. And since we are the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, doesn't it make sense that we should fit the bill? That we should come together, pull our resources so that preachers can have what they need. So the congregations can have what they need. Isn't that logical? Now, this is what many people say concerning the things of the church. Well, in their minds, they say, well, the church doesn't facilitate those funds well. And I don't agree with how the eldership uses the funds. But remember, as we've studied thus far, the elderships are the ones given the authority in charge over those finances. We as a body need to be solely concerned, what is my part? I'm going to give, and I give cheerfully because I know I'm doing what God wants me to do, and then allow the eldership to do their work. And if it comes down to it, I think it's a matter of envy at times. And it comes back to me. How is my life before God? I've said it this many times before, as the collection plate passes by, because sometimes I am a participant in the act of offering. And when I pass the collection plate, I'm not there looking to see how much you give. That's between you and God. And certainly the Bible, as has already been discussed, does not set the parameters for how much we should give. That's between you and God. That's between what you are able. But if we allow this lesson to be our springboard to help us understand, well, is my giving proportionate to the things that I spend out in life, then I believe that this is going to help me understand my place in this world. So as we think about this lesson, as we close our thoughts for this afternoon, I pray that each of us will consider this aspect of proportionate giving, that we'll consider, as I set aside funds for the Lord, as I consider other things that I spend, ask yourself, is it easier to spend out in the world just as it is as I give unto the Lord? If it's not, there's something wrong in your spiritual life. And you need to check yourself. Will you not consider that?